Hey, Star Wars fans. Ever wanted to learn sign language? How about learning more about the deaf and hard of hearing culture? Well, the time and effort has come to allow you to do just that. Don't miss the Interpreter's Toolbox podcast from Two Guys Talking. Great sign language vocabulary lessons, contests, stories, and more are waiting for you after you watch this new video podcast. Check out interpretertoolbox.com for more details and get cash and prizes for your comments now. It's all about life. interpretertoolbox.com.
Science fiction continues to make us marvel.
It transports us to vistas in the near future and a chance interaction with ourselves, eventually to a fantastical flash forwards and beyond.
Only our imagination limits our ability to understand the crafted portrait of what's to come.
It's a galaxy of ongoing storytelling, providing us the chance to dream.
A galaxy of characters often familiar in alien worlds.
That serve as time capsules to friends, lives, and times gone by.
I'm Bob Christman, lifelong science fiction fan and real-world teacher giving you perspective on future worlds of wonder.
I'm Ian Palmer, the sci-fi czar, believing that the future we believe is in all the stars beyond.
I'm Gary Boughton, fan of all things science fiction that come from some of the brightest minds on the planet.
And this is Galaxy Cast.
Hey folks, welcome to this episode of the Galaxy Cast. I have with me in the Galaxy Cast studio, as always, Ian the Sci-Fi Czar.
How you doing, Bob?
And Gary the Stud.
That'd be me.
Gary and I are still coming back from a New York Comic Con high.
Shut up.
I'm apologizing if we sound a little overexcited this time around. Yeah, Ian got upset.
Shut up.
Next year, mate, you're going to go with us next year, I swear to God.
Damn tires.
If I have to hog tie you and throw you in the car, you're going with me, dang it.
Only if Yaya Han can untie me while I'm down there.
We'll make sure that happens. Okay. Yaya was very nice to us, actually. We had a very good experience with Yaya Han. Thank you, Yaya. We had a great interaction experience with her, and I thought her boyfriend was very nice to us, too, and it was great. It was nice. I have to say, it's nice having somebody like that as the ambassador of the cosplay world. And I know a lot of people rip on Yaya Han for Heroes of Cosplay and even being involved in it and everything else. But you know what, folks? I mean, the reality is, she's good at what she does. She's good at her craft. And I respect that. I like the fact that she's willing to reach out to the fans and be an ambassador for all of us. It was kind of cool. And what was her costume that day? It was
Madam Hydra.
Thank you, Madam Hydra. And I mean, I love all her costumes. There's not too many that I don't like. You know, I mean, my favorite, obviously, is the Resident Evil that she does. She does
Ada Wong.
Thank you, Ada Wong, the red-dressed chick.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Gary had to get me in trouble and get a picture of that signed.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, so I can sign, put it in my shop here so my wife can see it every day. She'll love that.
Of course. Well, look at it.
What?
How many half-naked women have you got here?
Only two. Well, three. Slave Leia's here, too. Yeah.
Ahsoka.
Okay, I'm in trouble.
Yep.
Oh, yes, got a couple. Slave Leia. Slave Leia. Oh, damn it. All right, I'm in trouble. So...
It's a good experience, though, isn't it? New York Comic Con?
Yes. I have to admit, I didn't think it would be as big as it was, to be honest. Well, and I had big goggles on for it. I did.
Well, they were saying that the attendance was San Diego Comic Con attendance.
150,000.
Right.
William Shatner was on the TV the next morning.
Yeah.
Because I'd booked all that time off work.
Right.
Because I was going to go.
Right.
And then my damn car decides to crap out on me and... Everything went wrong from the power steering to the lights to the new tires and the state inspection.
I think there's a gremlin inside your engine on that thing.
I'm telling you there is because I got up this morning, got in my car, went to work, and the fault never happened.
Nice.
I got all the way home. The fault never happened. I turn around to my car and says, "You're being a bitch, aren't you? You're going to show me up. You're going to get there and they're going to say there's nothing wrong with you and then you're going to crap out on me on the way home." Luckily, she crapped out just before we got there.
Oh, there you go. And the gremlin's gone.
Yeah.
No, you just pissed Murphy off. That's all.
There you go. No, I have to admit, there was a lot more people there than I honestly suspected there would be there. I mean, I had my Dragon Con expectations going on. But then, like you reminded me, and Dragon Con happens over like four or five hotels, so it doesn't seem...
Right.
like there's that many people there because it's spread out over so many places. Whereas New York Comic Con, it was just like...
Yeah, it's all in the Javic Center.
It's all in one place. And I was like, holy crud. I mean, I have to admit, I've never been to a con where I kind of... I actually was...
Claustrophobic?
At points, a little claustrophobic, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially in the Mando armor. I didn't feel that bad in the...
Resident Evil.
Although I will say this. It's different being in the Resident Evil because people don't respect the Resident Evil as much. Like, I can't walk around my Resident Evil and be like, clear all the way. You know, like, because people are like, oh, screw you. All you got on is tactical gear. You know, and they're pushing you away. But when you got armor on, people move out of the way. You know, like.
They got out of my way in both costumes.
Well, yeah, because you had that freaking axe handle in your hand. I wouldn't want to mess with you. But, you know, it was different. It wasn't bad. I had fun in my Resident Evil costume. We took some awesome pictures, but it was just different. I forgot that when you're in a costume like that, people aren't just going to treat you the way they treat you when you're in armor. That, and I had to remind myself I didn't have a reflective T-visor on. And
yes, and stop looking at those parts of that woman's body.
That's Gary must have said it like two or three times. Bob, your visor's not on. Oh, damn it.
Eyes up. Roll them up.
Yeah, like we can't. We went to enter New York City, and we ended up coming across in the wrong tunnel. We meant to hit the Lincoln Tunnel. We ended up hitting the Holland Tunnel by mistake. Okay, we get to the other side, and we come out into the city, and it is not a good part of New York City. And Gary looks at me, and I look at him, and he goes, "Roll them up." And we start rolling the windows up. It was funny. Like, we didn't even say anything; it just happened. But I have to admit, I was impressed with the amount of people that were there, and I had a blast, man. It was great. There were moments in time where Gary and I couldn't move.
Five feet, 20 pictures taken.
Yeah, at a time sometimes, and it was just, you know, trying to get anything done on our Saturday in our Mandos was next to impossible because it was just every 5 seconds it was take a picture here, take a picture there, do this, do that.
Yeah,
do
well,
that,
well, you know. One of the best pictures was the zombie apocalypse car that we took over.
Yeah, you guys have checked that on Facebook on my feed. That was pretty freaking cool.
What was funny was the guy that ran the booth, he took our picture, and then like someone saw what was going on, and like, whoa, we gotta get a picture of this, and then like 40 people just turned right around and start snapping pictures left and right.
And the guy was kind of like, normally they were like shuffling people in and out, like every 5 seconds they're like, you know, move, and we got on there, and what we did is we had our slave Leia get up in the big gun. So she was on top. And then
Han Solo was in the driver's seat.
I was on opposite of him, and you were just kind of across the hood.
Yeah, just in front of the car, just a little bit like walking along with the car.
Right. Yeah. And he took his picture, and he turned around, and he saw these people taking a picture, and he just kind of stood there. So for a good 5 minutes, we were standing there like that, because it was just like, if we'd have walked away, people were like, aw. You know, like, yeah. I know they'd have been like, hey, one more.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is they were only letting two people at a time.
Right, and he let all four of us actually go. Actually, when I asked him, like, can all four of us? He's like, hell yeah. He's like, and you can go around to the other side. Nobody was allowed to, like, the back side of the car. So I actually went to the back side, which was kind of cool. But it was, yeah, they had a zombie car, which was pretty cool. But, yeah, not to brag about our experience. Sorry, Ian.
That's not a problem, mate. I'm glad you had fun.
They had a big reveal at New York Comic Con about Star Wars Rebels. Now, I'll admit, Gary and I, we didn't go to the panel. Honestly, we've been to too many panels, I think.
I don't think we could have gotten in anyway.
I know, yeah. The line for all the panels, the bigger panels, like the Walking Dead panel, the line for that panel, which started at 11... actually started at like 8 o'clock in the morning. People were lined up outside the Javits Center to be the first one to rush in to get to the line for the actual panel itself. So like, yeah, some of those panels were just, there was no way we were going to get in, and we weren't even going to have like standing room. You know what I mean? There's no way we're going to get in that. And I just, the idea of sitting in my armor, that's impossible. The idea of being in that room, standing in my armor all that time, not my idea of fun. So I was just like, eh. Well, I said to Gary, I said, we'll find out online at home, and on our way home, we're finding out stuff. So they revealed that the quote unquote evil guy for Rebels, Star Wars Rebels, will be this guy called the Inquisitor, which, from my understanding, from reading everything I've read and listening to IGN's report, he's basically the bad guy that hunts the Jedi down. What do you guys think of this as the bad guy?
Why?
I guess that was the one thing that did kind of occur to me. Why him? Why not Darth Vader? I mean, Gary, you said...
Why do they got to create a new character that's not in any canon a book, a movie, or anything.
Even, comic books, nothing. Yeah,
there's not anything of the we mentioned before. Why create someone new when you got enough people to do it already?
And he's not even referenced anywhere. I guess that's the other thing that bothers me. Well,
that's
bit.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, what were your thoughts on having this guy, Ian? I mean,
well, I can see the point of it.
Yeah.
He is the Inquisitor. It's a bit like the Spanish Inquisition, hunting down witches and all that sort of stuff and unbelievers. I see that point. And I also see the point where, for us as costumers, it gives another costume for us to work on.
Absolutely.
Because I know as soon as Rebels comes out, there's going to be a guy there that's going to be, boom, got the thing.
There's sorted. Already a new trooper that they released some specs on, and it looks like a mixture of a stormtrooper and the AT-AT driver.
Yes.
He's got like the AT-AT helmet, but he's got the stormtrooper face on it, but all the jumpsuit from the AT-AT driver with a couple pieces of armor on it. I'm looking at that going, dude, any 501st guy right now is going, I can do that. You know, like,
yeah. But at the same time, they're also looking at, like, why are they mismatching all the
right? Why are they kit bashing other armor pieces when they could have come up with something new and cool? Yeah. We kind of felt like we kit bashed something that was already there.
Well, I like the way with from going from Phantom Menace to Return of the Sith, the way that they morphed the helmet.
Oh,
so it was
the clone
starting
helmet?
To look more and more like the stormtrooper helmet. Mm-hmm. I like the way how they did that. Why didn't they do that again?
Yes, I agree.
That's
with that.
That's what I mean. Yeah, like a next generation of that helmet. Keep
of that
moving
development.
It towards right. I mean, like with this show, it looks like they're jumping right into the stormtrooper helmet. I kind of wish there was a almost in between of the. I think it's the version 5 clone helmet and the stormtrooper, like one in between somewhere.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That would have been cool. And then maybe in Rebels, like halfway through, maybe they start redistributing Stormtrooper armor the way we know it. And then, you know what I mean? That would have been cool. See it morph, like you said, into what we would expect to see.
Now to go back to the Inquisitor, it's going to help the sales for Hasbro because of the lightsaber.
Yeah, the lightsaber looks just like the Hasbro General Grievous
lightsaber.
And it was really... To me, I never liked the Grievous lightsaber they put out because it looked really poor. I didn't like the little handle in the center thing. Yeah. It just looked, I don't know, unbalanced. You know, if you're going to actually use that thing, it looked very unbalanced to use if you were going to use it as a weapon. I'm curious as to how they're going to have this guy use this weapon. I'd love to see some motion. I guess that's what has me worried about Star Wars Rebels right now. We're about a year out. According to Disney, we're a year out. Yet we have zero footage.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to show. And I know a lot of people are like, well, but that's normal for cartoons. Okay, it is normal for most cartoons. But we're talking about Star Wars, okay? And people know Star Wars has a high level of expectations, high things going on. When we went to C5, and they had footage for the Clone Wars, and they were a year away from Clone Wars even hitting. So how can the Clone Wars have footage a year before it actually hit the airwaves? And here we are a year before Rebels, and there's nothing. And there's barely concept art from what I'm seeing. I mean, and I mean barely. I mean, some of the concept art's pretty bad. It's sketchy at this point. Not that it's, you know, I expect concept art to be concept art. But it's by this point, I would have thought we'd have at least, A, had some voice actors at least know who they are. And, B, I would have thought maybe an episode would be done. You know, like, at least some footage, a trailer, something. Yeah. Make it look good, you know? We haven't even gotten that far.
It would have been nice to give them... Yeah, it's like what you're saying. People want a piece of meat that you're going to throw at them so that they can grab hold of it. Really get a taste of what's going to happen in this series. And to be quite honest with you, I'm not getting it.
Right. I mean, Disney, even like before the Monday before we went to New York Comic Con, they're like, it's going to be a big reveal on Disney XD after blah, blah, blah show. I didn't even watch it because I was like, I don't really want to see it because it's probably just going to be disappointing.
But the thing is, I found out about this on Thursday.
Yeah. Well, and then they put it online, and all it was a Imperial ship coming by, and it's got Star Wars Rebels on the backside of the Imperial ship. And I'm like, really?
Yeah,
like, we made a big deal about that. That's lame, you know. Like that didn't even get me excited about the show.
And then I told you about the one where they had the different still pictures of the different characters that were going to be in it.
Yeah, and we looked through that. I mean, it was again with some love here. And don't get me wrong, I love Ralph McQuarrie. Concept art, it, to me, is just that. It's just concept art. It's just art. And again, I'm not ripping away from the artists. I love the artists. I love the fact that if it weren't for the artists, we wouldn't have the things that we have. But I kind of feel like we've seen all that. I've seen that. I've done that. Let's move on and actually start seeing some things now. Give me a storyline, maybe. Give me a character. You know what I mean? One character we're going to see. Yes, Boba Fett will be appearing in the show at some point. Awesome. That would have made people like, woohoo! And it would have been the meat that you talked mm-hmm. about that everybody would be like, all right, now I'm ready to watch it. We haven't even given that. Like, give people something they want to hear. Just one little minuscule thing. Having the Inquisitor, to me, was just kind of like a lame cop-out of, here's a little bit of a bone. Not a piece of meat, but just a little bone. Mm-hmm. And that should be good enough for you.
And a lot of people are like, yay, about it. Because, like I said, why make another character? They can just have Vader do it.
I don't know if you noticed the Facebook feed for Rebels. I actually follow it. And they put it out there, and they were like, within an hour, about 1,000 likes and kind of like, I think, 97 comments. And I was kind of like, that's bad. I mean, Facebook would, if it were about the movie, let's say, and it were something like that, it would have been exploded. You know, yeah. Like, but this was kind of like, I was like, that's not good. That's not a good sign.
Okay. In the Clone Wars, Palpatine took Maul.
Correct.
Why don't you have Maul hunt him down?
Right. I mean, that would be cool.
You know?
Yeah.
Instead of the Inquisitor.
Mm-hmm.
Show a 5-second thing of a blue lightsaber and Maul.
Right.
No, just you don't know who's fighting them. Just have a blue lightsaber and you got Maul staring back at him.
Now, at the same time, though, okay, here's something else that's been announced in the past week. And I know by the time this comes out, it'll be old news, but that's okay. Filoni announced on his website, as we've discussed, that season 6 of the Clone Wars is ready.
Mm-hmm.
They're
already in the can.
It's in the can, and basically all they got to do is show it.
Yep.
And there were hints that it's going to be on Disney XD. And from talking to insiders, a couple I know, it looks like that's the direction they're going. That they're going to actually, what they're going to do, they're going to amp people up by putting Clone Wars Season 6 on Disney XD just before Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
So to really get people's palate wet, they're going to do that and then lead into Rebels. Now, here's where I think this creates a problem. The Clone Wars has its own audience.
Yep.
People are going to be clamoring for Clone Wars once it comes back for the 20 episodes it'll probably come back for. That's going to set a bar. And I tell you what, from what I'm seeing of the storylines we're going to see of the last season of the Clone Wars, we're all going to regret the fact that it never aired, because although season 5 sucked, from my understanding, everything we're going to see in season 6 is going to be amazing. Explanations about Sifo-Dyas, explanations about why Yoda stayed with the Order as long as he had. I mean, all mm-hmm. sorts of cool things that we've all been like, why aren't you telling this? Apparently, that was all going to happen in season 6.
Oh, everything's going to happen in season 6. Bull crap.
Well, I know.
They had the whole series.
They had all the series to do a lot of this stuff. Exactly. And they didn't. I agree with you. But let's say that that is amazing, and they put all this stuff out there, and it's awesome, and it's incredible, okay? And they get all these people back. If they don't follow up with some amazing stuff for Star Wars Rebels, I think that's it. I think we could literally close the lid on Star Wars and be done with it and walk away. Because if you lose people after the Clone Wars going into Rebels, they're not going to go see the movies. And if they don't go see the movies, Disney's going to just write the whole thing off. I just can't see them.
Well,
you know, it just doesn't make any sense.
I don't see. I can't.
Well, even if not writing it off, but
even if it flunks, I think people are going to go to the live action movies.
Yes.
Come on off it. We went to see Phantom Menace.
Yes.
And we went back to see the Clone Wars.
But only because I think by the time Phantom Menace came around, people were clamoring for anything at that point. They would have gone to see a piece of crap.
We did.
It kind of was.
And Star Wars 7 is going to be the same way.
Yeah.
If they don't pull it out, literally pull it out their butt, and it's majorly awesome.
Yeah.
You're going to lose all the old crew.
Yep.
All of us old fogies, which we are now.
Yep.
You're going to lose all the kids.
Yeah.
You're definitely going to lose that next generation of kids that is what they're hoping to grab hold of.
Right.
It's not us.
To me, it's, and I hate to put it this way, but the Clone Wars set the bar a little higher. You know what I mean? Like, for kids, I'm talking about. And because it set the bar a little higher, those kids are expecting a certain level of quality. And if they don't get it, they're kind of like us. we get a little pissy if we don't get the quality we expect. They're going to get pissy about it. If they don't get the quality they expect, they're not going to support it. I don't see kids doing that. I know. I teach them. It's just they won't spend their money on it. It's not worth it for them. So I'm hopeful, though. I don't know. Rebels has a lot of potential. I mean, as far as a show, considering the era they're covering and all the things they could do with it, it has a lot of potential. I'm just concerned that we're told looking about a year out and we don't have any footage yet. That is a little disconcerting. We don't even have a cast and crew yet.
I actually can see it being really good because you've just gone through the build-up of Darth Vader and the build-up of the Empire. Now you're seeing the build-up of the Rebellion.
Yeah.
To get to that clash at New Hope.
Yes. And I would love to see that build up of the Rebellion, which we really never got out of the Revenge of the Sith, which I think is the main element missing from that movie, is the beginnings of the Rebellion.
They cut it all out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we cut it. It should have not have stayed on the cutting floor. It should have been in the movie. I don't care if the movie was 3.5 hours long and that was put in. I think people would have gone to see it.
Yeah.
And maybe even have been more interested in it because the Rebellion got started. I kind of feel like you don't know where the Rebellion comes from unless you've read the books and the comic books. You don't know where this thing happened.
Or play the Force Unleashed.
Right, the games, yeah. Otherwise, you have no idea where this Rebellion came from. So, before we return,
let's have a word from our sponsors.
Have you ever wanted to go to that one-stop geek shop?
Ever wanted to go to one place to find your comics, games, books, and more?
Is it hard to find everything you want to have and need to drive around town just to find it all?
We have the solution for you.
Fat Cat Comics.
Fat Cat Comics is your one-stop destination to find comics.
Games.
Gently used sci-fi, fantasy, and horror books.
Fantasy sculptures.
Swords and daggers.
T-shirts.
Toys and collectibles.
And even a section dedicated specifically to local Binghamton authors.
Fat Cat Comics can now be found online at www.fatcatcomics.net.
Or stop on by to their brick-and-mortar store found at 278 Main Street in Johnson City, New York.
Their store hours are Monday and Tuesday from 2 to 6 p.m.
Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Thursdays, 12 to 8 p.m.
Friday, 12 to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Stop on by and tell Dizzy and Lex that the Galaxy Cast team says hi.
Fat Cat Comics. Your one-stop shop for geeks everywhere.
It's worth the stop, because we'll leave you purring for more.
You're listening to the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
I can never seem to find those Yu-Gi-Oh cards I'm looking for.
Yeah, and I can never find the hero clicks I want, when I want them. It's like no one knows where to find them.
I know where you can find them, at Charging Star Comics.
Charging Star Comics? I've never heard of them. Where are they located?
You can find Charging Star Comics online at www.chargingstarcomics.com. Or you can head on over to the store at 345 Harry L. Drive in Johnson City, New York. Right across from where Bob gets all of his Star Wars toys. Toys R Us.
Hey!
Charging Star Comics specializes in Yu-Gi-Oh cards, HeroClix miniatures, comics, and comic book figures. You can even come in and see the USS flag from the G.I. Joe figure line. They also buy and trade action figures.
They also have a huge selection of comics that range from the Silver, Bronze, and Copper Age of comics. If they don't have what you're looking for, ask. They can probably get it for you.
Yeah, but I'm a busy guy. When are they open?
Charging Star is open from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. They're also open from 10 a.m. till 9 p.m. on Wednesday and 1 p.m. till 5 p.m. on Sundays.
I got it, so I can head over there on every day but Monday. Sounds like a cool place. I'll have to check it out.
Charging Star Comics, a place where comic book geeks can feel like a star.
Hi, I'm Kent Martin from the Small Business Communications Podcast, and you're listening to the Galaxy Cast Podcast on the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
What's the most popular card game around?
Magic.
And where can you get all your Magic cards for gaming?
Jupiter.
That's right. If you're into card games, miniature gaming, or board games, then Jupiter Games is the place for you.
Located in the Campus Plaza in Vestal, New York, Jupiter Games can help you with any of your card gaming and miniature gaming needs.
Jupiter has a wide range of Magic card decks, as well as loose cards for sale and for trade. You can even sell them your extra cards.
They also carry a selection of Warhammer Fantasy, 40K, Lord of the Rings, and other miniature gaming odds and ends. They're also an official distributor of all things Games Workshop.
So, stop on by their shop or head on over to their website at www.jupitergamesonline.com. Find out what their store is all about.
Jupiter Games, open 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. from Monday to Wednesday, and 11 a.m. till midnight on Thursdays and Fridays. They're also open from 10 a.m. till 9 p.m. on Saturdays, and 11 a.m. till 9 p.m. on Sundays.
Jupiter Games, where the selection of gaming materials is out of this world.
Welcome back to GalaxyCast.
Let's discuss this episode as the Council speaks.
All right, so tonight we're going to review a fan film. This is our first time, so have some patience with us. Fan films are not our normal thing. We're used to TV shows, which, trust me, once Star Wars Rebels comes out, good or bad, we'll be reviewing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know we will, because, well, that's what we do.
Yeah, at least three slobs will be watching it.
That's right. So we're going to review tonight The Dark Redemption, which came out on March 5th, 1999. Wow, really that long ago?
Yeah.
Damn. I mean, a lot of these fan films, I'll be honest, they're a little older. I mean, the truth.
Which goes to show you the reason why the buckets look so bad to you.
Well, yes, yeah. I guess that's... I did make mention as we were watching the film that I'm looking at the Stormtrooper buckets. I'm like, yeah, because they look this awful.
1999?
Yeah, 99 would have been the year of The Phantom Menace coming out. Yeah. So,
and the 501st was only like three or four years old.
Yeah. So I
so they wouldn't have been 501st members.
Probably not. No. Yeah. And I was looking at the buckets and I thought, man, they look bad. I thought it was just me. And then I kind of mentioned it and you kind of went, like something's not right about them. I figured out what it was, too. They don't have the right grill on the front. They have that little teardrop thing.
I think they're rubies is what the...
Oh, is that what that might have been?
I think they are.
Oh, see, I don't remember seeing the old rubies.
Right.
Stormtrooper Alerts. Anyway, Dark Redemption. I just thought I'd mention some people that are involved with it because, hey, let's promote these guys. It was directed by Peter Mether, produced by Warren Duxbury. Written by Peter Mether. I'm probably pronouncing these names wrong, so correct me if I'm wrong, cast and crew. Dwight Bonecki, Derek Curtis, starring Leah McLeod. I'm assuming she's...
Margie. That's Mama Jade.
Actually, let me get through the characters here. Damian Rice played Zev Seneska. I believe that was the evil guy. Jason Chong played Klaus Vanderon. Martin Grellis played Boba Fett, which I thought... That Boba Fett was cool. Pretty good.
Okay,
I
mean, Zev Seneska was the blonde-haired guy of the Stormtrooper armor.
Oh, okay, thank you.
And Zev Seneska. And Klaus Verdun.
That's right, she called him Zev as he came in the room. Leah McLeod played Mara Jade, which I gotta say, she was hot as Mara Jade. Yeah, I'm actually saying that on air now.
Is that McLeod?
How do you say that?
McLeod.
McLeod?
McLeod.
I don't know. How do you say it then?
We're telling you. McLeod.
Okay.
Of the clan McLeod.
Okay, McLeod. Okay.
I'm going to chop his freaking head off.
I know, right? I thought she did a great Mara Jade. Actually, maybe could give a run for the money for who plays Nora Jade normally.
Shannon Basco.
Shannon McRandall, sorry.
Yeah.
I think she could give her a run for the money. Like, if Shannon, because of cancer, can't do it for episode 7, this chick probably could.
Yeah.
At least if she still looks like this. I mean, we are 14 years away. Peter Sumner. Now, this is interesting. He played Lieutenant Pol Tridum.
Who was in
the original Star Wars films. He played in the original film as Lieutenant Pol Tridum. So he played the same role, basically, right?
Yeah.
From A New Hope, I think, is what it's from. So that was pretty cool that they were able to get a guy from the film.
It's actually one of the only fan films, Star Wars fan films, that has an actual lead, one of the main characters.
That's
amazing. One of the originals.
That's pretty awesome. So there's a moment of note right there. David Wheeler played Garrok. I think that's the bad guy we're talking about. Drew Sneddon played Darth Sidious. William Bowden played the voice of Darth Sidious. Really? They had to have a different guy for the voice. Nathan Harvey played Kyle Katarn, which Yeah, that one threw me off a little. Uncredited voice actor for Han Solo. I think that was the Wahoo.
Yeah.
Ben Craig played...
There was also a little bit of dialogue later on.
Was there? Yeah, there was.
Yeah, he dumped the spice.
Yep.
And then Ben Craig played Darth Vader, and Alan Sinis was the voice of Darth Vader. So, overall, movie came out in 1999. I mean, I gotta admit, the quality...
Of this one is a pirate of a pirate of a pirate.
Right, and I even went on YouTube.
And I bought it on eBay.
Right, and I went on YouTube. We couldn't find much better of a quality.
I actually did have a better quality one when I was back in the UK.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have worked on the TVs over
Right, because it would have had a different region zone thing on it. Yeah. You know, even for the quality, I mean, I thought it was a nice fan film. I mean... It's supposed to be set, what, 2 years?
Two days
before A New Hope. Which I thought there were some cool references in it. Of course, they make the reference of Han Solo dumping the spice because he was about to be boarded by the Empire, which, again, I like the reference. That's pretty cool. You know, there's a lot of cool characters thrown in there, too. I like the fact that they had, like a Ponda Baba-type character. Of course, his name was... Kashyyyk. So it's like, oh, that's interesting.
Well, I like how they beamed the Death Star plans to Nev 4.
Yes, the Tantive 4 got the Death Star plans. Interesting that Mara Jade was the one who gave up the Death Star plans. I thought that was a nice little play on the story.
So what happened to the Bothan spies?
That was in The Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, remember that was the... Yeah, so this... This is doable. It could have happened this way. You know, the storyline's actually kind of semi-believable, assuming they don't destroy it in Rebels when they do the TV show. But
they will.
You know, I thought it was kind of cool having Boba Fett in there too, throwing him in the middle because he kind of played both sides.
If you watch them, but the better resolution of this, you'll see that the special effects were actually really, really good.
Yeah,
and it was done by a professional team. It was actually done at Fox Studios.
In Australia, right? Yeah. I thought the renderings...
Couldn't you bloody tell?
Yeah, a couple of actors had some Australian accents, but... I thought the renderings of the ships were very well done, actually. I mean, considering it's 1999 technology, and they're literally doing CAD drawings of, you know, Slave One, and what was it, the Imperial Shuttle was in there. And the
Millennium Falcon, TIE Fighters.
Executor.
Yeah, the Executor. I mean, I thought they came out pretty well, considering they were rendered from a CAD drawing. So, I mean, you could tell it was a CAD drawing. But, I mean, come on, in 1999, that was the technology they had.
This was actually one of the first fan films. I think it was the first fan film I ever watched.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not sure which one I watched first.
Why do you think I'm so in love with Mara Jade?
Because of this film?
Plus also meeting Shannon McRandall.
Well, I was going to say, Shannon McRandall would do it for me. You know what it was? It was Reign of the Fallen was my first one. That was the one you and I saw in Syracuse, remember?
Mm-hmm.
We met the cast and crew there, and that was the very first fan film I'd ever watched.
Mine was Titanic.
Titanic.
Titanic, yeah.
Titanic.
So, I thought it was a really well put together episode. I liked some of the things that, like, they showed the slaves on Kessel, which was kind of cool. You know, even showing stormtroopers kind of attacking the slaves,
beating them around.
You know,
yeah, there's a Jawa runner on
it. I thought that was kind of cool. I thought the cantina scene actually was kind of cool.
The cantina scene was really good.
You know,
that would have given A New Hope one a run for its money.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they even gave a little homage here and there to A New Hope. I love the fact that we had a Gorn.
Yeah,
in the middle of the cantina scene. That was a great homage to Star Trek. Why not, you know?
Then you get the stormtrooper hitting on the girl there. Right. Then the guy tells him to go back to his post.
Yeah, Alban Johnson's number. Yeah,
to get back to your post. I love the fact that the Imperial officer hits on the girl. Yeah. And then Boba Fett shows up and she's like...
Smacks him across the gob
and walks away. You know,
what did I do? What did I say?
I thought that was great. I mean, there's a lot of cool little things. My other favorite moment was when Boba Fett flies into the room and knocks the guy down, and he just falls into the pit. Yeah. Remember, I said, "Oh, they didn't put railings there either." You know.
Well, first of all, I like to use his jetpack.
Yes.
To lift him off the ground. Then he does a back somersaulted flip and lands on his feet.
Yeah, that was kind of, a little awkward, but it was kind of funny at the same time. Yeah,
you're like, what the hell happened?
I don't think,
how tall are the ceilings in that room? Right?
I think there was supposed to be some humor in this film, and I kind of enjoy the fact that they threw a little humor in there. Like when they drug Garrock down the hall, and he suddenly goes, that was a drag.
Well, I like it. The stormtroopers are shooting a bullet, I can't hit none. And the Imperial officer takes it and just shoots the rope.
Hey, can't hit the broad outside of the barn, but the Imperial officer can hit just the rope. We're good.
Which goes to show you that the Stormtrooper helmets must be the ones.
Must be the problem, right?
Right.
If they could just take the helmet off, they'd be okay. Oh man, there were some. There were just some really cool scenes in it. I like the fact that they made fun of the Stormtrooper armor. The two guys that came off the ship, Zev Seneska and Klaus. The fact they made fun of the Stormtrooper armor a little bit too.
Yeah, just like Han and Luke did.
Although I gotta say something, if Jason Chong can get in Stormtrooper armor, then so can I. Damn it, that guy was big. I was like, if that guy can get in armor, so can I. Maybe that's my next costume. I don't know.
You can't look at you. He might have been Samoan or something.
I know, right? Of course, you guys know the first line that come out of your mouth is, "If I wear a Stormtrooper armor, is what?
Aren't you a little fat and be a Stormtrooper?"
See, I knew that's exactly what you guys would say, dude. It's predictable. I thought the scenes of the Emperor were pretty cool too. I like the ending too, where Mara Jade goes to the Emperor and kind of like reports to him, and she's kind of happy about the fact that things went down the way they did. So overall, I mean, I liked it. I thought it was a pretty cool film. I don't know if you guys had any other thoughts on the film. Was there anything you liked or didn't like about it? I mean, I know this is short. It was only a 35-minute film, folks. So
the thing I liked about it was the campiness of it.
Okay.
Because it reminded me of the old sci-fi.
Yes.
Cereals and stuff.
Yeah, especially when you see the officers on the bridge. It's like, that's off Doctor Who, isn't it?
Right, yeah. You can see little things in the background that totally reminded me of other series. Yeah, absolutely.
And when Boba Fett's flying down the corridor there,
all the flames behind him,
then you have the little cartoony...
That almost had like a Flash Gordon look to it. You know what I mean? Like the old Flash when he would, you know, do stuff like that. That was, definitely. I agree. There was kind of like a campiness to it.
I mean, they probably didn't mean to make it that way, but now being 14 years later, that's what I liked about it.
But I mean, when you think about,
where are these people now?
Well, that's a good question. Where are they now? You know, if there's any cast members out there listening to this, yes, we just reviewed your fan film. We'd love to hear from you. At the same time, I should try to hunt some of these people down.
Plus Leah. Yes, hunt her down. Leah McLeod.
At the same time, I...
You wouldn't call her the right name. So.
Yeah, I probably would.
So she wouldn't...
She's Leah McLeod. I'm going to have to get a hold of her just to find out how to pronounce her name.
You and I would have to hunt her down.
Yeah, I will definitely hunt her down. You know what I'm like for redheads.
I think the big thing about this is, considering it's from 1999... It's actually high quality, considering the year that it was made. You know? I mean, considering Jar Jar hadn't even been invented yet. It came out.
But yet, you hear a lot of Jar Jar in it, though.
You can, a little bit, yeah.
In the background.
Yeah.
The little references right. there, here and there, you can kind of hear. All right, we'll rate these. I figured, why not rate the fan films, too? Why not?
You know,
give people ones that they could see and maybe ones that they should stay away from. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a don't bother, 10 being a must-see, I'll start with Ian, because you've watched this one a million times.
I have watched this a million times, and I really liked it. I think Leia McLeod was absolutely brilliant in it. The campiness, the direction, looking at the slaves on Kessel and all of that, and how Han Solo got in trouble when he turns around and goes, "What's Jabba going to do? Put a bounty on my head?"
Right.
As he dumps the spice.
Right.
I mean, I loved it. I don't know if I should start off with a 10. Because that
don't want to set the bar too high, right?
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm going to give it a 10.
Okay. Gary, what would you think?
Well, I got to be the Debbie Downer on this. I got to give it a solid 8.
Okay.
I did like everything that Ian was saying, and especially when Han Solo says, "What's he going to do? Put a bounty on my head," and he drops the stuff out. It wipes out the TIE pilots.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny, yeah.
All right, and then I go, "See, Bob still can't even fly."
I can't. I'm awful. I'm still the guy that went, what?
Well, exactly. There's a big block in front of me. What do I do? Whoa,
I can't even have maneuvers. I'm not drifting lazily to the left.
Yeah, you don't have maneuvers.
We've seen that at the bar.
So anyway, what would you give this one out of 10 then?
I got 8.
Solid 8 out of 10. I actually kind of agree with Gary. I might even be a little lower. I 7, but it's not because it's an awful movie. Actually, I would suggest it to anybody. I like Leah McLeod. That was a big moment for me. But I kind of agree with Ian. I don't want to be like 10 on all of them, because I want to be able to give myself some wiggle room in case we run into one. It's like, that's amazing.
Well, you know, there are some out there that are really amazing. The reason I'm giving this one a 10 is because it was the first one I ever saw, and it really got me hooked into fan films.
Fan films, yeah.
And this was my lead into fan films. And from this one...
This is a good lead, man. I mean,
From this one, it was like every single one that came out. As soon as I found out about a fan film, it was, boom, I had to download it onto my computer.
Check it out.
I mean, come on off it.
Here's the thing, though.
Plastic tauntauns?
Have you guys heard of any fan films coming out recently? It's been a while since I've seen a Star Wars fan film.
The only one I'm hearing is one that the Mercs is supposed to be working in.
Yeah, the Mercs one, and then the only other one I know came out recently was the last of the Pink 5 series. Right. They just released that. But I mean, other than that, it seems like fan films are, I don't want to say they're going by the wayside. I don't think that's true. I think
people have actually changed what they're making fan films about now.
Right.
I know a lot of people that I know have gone from Star Wars and are now doing like steampunk.
Right.
There is a great one that has just been released that, which is a diesel punk one.
Okay.
Which is getting great reviews. And it's about the same length. It's about half an hour.
Yeah, I mean,
40 minutes.
I'm even thinking of like Star Trek all of a sudden has picked up in fan films. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're doing the whole.
There's a whole series of them.
Well, there's
now.
The group up from Rochester.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
That so do it up there.
There's a whole group of
Star Trek Phase 2, which has been going on for years.
Right.
Because I know some of the people that act on that.
You know, I'm kind of shocked that I haven't heard a lot of Star Wars fan films, but I'm wondering if it's because right now we're kind of in a state of flux with Star Wars.
Well, I don't think it's that as much as it's what can you do now?
Right.
That hasn't been already touched.
That already hasn't been done, yeah. And I think also, too, the technology has made it so that anybody can do a fan film. So I don't think people are, and it sounds weird, but as impressed as they used to be with fan films. You know, we used to look at fans and go, oh my gosh, people cannot be doing that.
Well,
now you look at it, you're like green screening, everybody does that now. You
well,
know, like,
well, not only that, but you got the majority of the people were 501st wannabes.
Correct. Now they are.
You know, and now, you know, there wasn't a 501st at the time when that was, was made, I think.
Yeah.
And now there's, 5,000 members of the 501st?
Something like that worldwide. It's incredible. I mean,
yeah,
I agree with you. All right, so that's Dark Redemption, The Dark Redemption. If you want to find it, go on to YouTube.com and check out The Dark Redemption. It's on there, and you can either download it as a whole or in parts and watch it. That's our thoughts on The Dark Redemption. So we'd love to hear what you have to say about The Dark Redemption. Head over to GalaxyCast.com, click on that button that says Tell Us More, and you know, let us know what you thought of this fan film. What's that?
This one's only about 35 minutes long.
I know.
Less than 40 minutes.
Yeah.
People can download this and listen to it on the way to work.
Yeah, it's almost like we planned it that way. Okay, so like we always like to say here in the Star Production Studio,
may the Force be with those who listen.
You've been listening to Galaxy Cast, a podcast dedicated to the love, discussion, and interaction with the never-ending realm of science fiction fandom and beyond.
Be sure to tell us what you think of our podcast by visiting our website at galaxycast.com.
You can also find us via the Two Guys Talking podcast network at twoguystalking.com. That's the number 2guystalking.com. Thanks for listening, and
may the Force be with those who listen.